Hey everyone, I am here, not by myself. I know you're all excited, but I'm not. Doug's actually here. But in a couple seconds, he's just putting on his shirt because he's sweaty. I don't know why. We can ask him though, but I'm not really going to. Hi, welcome to Extra Features, episode 311, and I'm Simon.
I'm Doug, and I'm now fully shirted.
Oh, shoot. I was worried about our video people seeing this. So, Doug.
Nobody wants to see that.
Getting close, man. Second episode of the new year. The next episode's the big one. Are your big top 10 list? How much cramming do you have left to do?
I think there's like a few movies left I have to see, but I'm pretty happy with my top 10 list right now, I got to say. I think it's a pretty solid list.
Got to say, these holidays helped me out a lot. I have pounded through 3 movies a day, pretty much.
Wow. Okay.
Trying to get through everything, and today, just before we recorded this, I got to say I finished my last film, and I'm done. I don't think there's anything else I'm going to watch unless I magically get a chance to see The Whale in the next 2 weeks, so that's the last one I'm going to watch.
If okay.
I have an opportunity to get out of my house this week, hopefully I will catch The Whale and see if it'll make it. But other than that, I'm doing well. News-wise, I go to the gym a lot, and I haven't read anything else. So, but I don't know. I'm reading a lot of news about people being pissed off with James Gunn. And he's firing people and doing all this stuff. And I'm like, guys, he just took over. He's going to change things. Elon Musk does with Twitter. And everybody's bitching about that. But if you don't like it, don't use Twitter. If you don't like what James Gunn's doing, don't watch DC movies. I don't care.
Yeah, I mean, James Gunn came into a pretty hectic situation at DC with lots of shows getting canceled, lots of movies getting canceled even. The Batgirl movie was filmed and everything, and they just decided to shelve it and not release
that
it.
That wasn't him, though. That was the
person
that Viacom or discovered.
Right, yeah, so that it wasn't him, but that was the situation he was coming into, so... There was already fire happening when James Gunn got the job.
Yeah, I'm pretty pissed off about the Batgirl movie because I actually wanted to see it. Excuse me. Oh, I don't know why I'm yawning. I'm on still on my lovely holiday and kind of enjoying it. So, TV this year, is there anything you're looking forward to? Like me, I'm last season of The Flash, so I've been with it since day one. So I'm looking for that.
We actually kind of stopped watching The Flash. It just... lost its magic for us.
It had lost its magic 2 years ago, but just because I'm a diehard Flash fan, I'll watch it to the end. And I got to say, I'm looking forward to Superman and Lois coming back. So I quite enjoyed that. And I hear there might be a new Green Arrow show. No, Green Lantern, I'm looking forward to.
I heard that got axed too at HBO.
Well, I guess I'm not looking forward to it. Anyway, I guess I'm not going to see it. And that's about it for me. Like I said, I'm not a big TV guy, people. I apologize. If you're looking for a TV show, this is not it. They will tell you how little TV I watch.
I watch a lot of TV. I'm looking forward to this year. Righteous Gemstones coming back for season 3. Perry Mason for season 2 on HBO. The one that... what did I just hear about that I'm really looking forward to? I don't know. Maybe it'll come to me later, but it slipped my mind at the moment, so.
What can I say? I'm just not a TV guy. It's just not. I do watch TV, but it takes me ages to finish something. Like Flight Attendant, I think I've watched one episode of last season.
Okay, I've only watched season 1. I didn't watch season 2.
Watched one episode of season 2. Like Walking Dead last season, I've watched one episode. This week, hopefully I'll finish. I did finish Wednesday.
Okay.
I found some fun in that, and it was just big. The funny thing is, though, I was supposed to be watching Stranger Things, the last season of Stranger Things. So I'm like, okay, but my daughter asked me to watch Outer Banks. So I spent 2 weeks watching Outer Banks last time I was on holidays.
Okay.
I got to finish the season of Stranger Things. I think I'm on episode 2 now. So that's the problem. If somebody asks me and watch something and I do it, it kind of just puts me behind on something I would normally watch.
I get that.
So, like, I'm trying to watch G.I. Joe cartoon. I've watched season 1. I've never made it to season 2. It's been there for ages. And one of these days, I'll sit down and watch all of season 2. But I don't know if it'll be another year until I finally get to season 2. Like, does it really matter? No. No, no, it doesn't.
No, it'll only be there for you.
Weird rabbit holes on Disney Plus. Like, ooh, Spider-Man is raising friends. All 22 gone. Watch all 22 episodes of Spider-Man. Why? I don't reason to. I just wanted to. So that's just me. One day I'll get this weird thing. And it's great. I find 22-minute cartoons are a great cleanser for me for these Oscar films. Like, they're just so powerful and strong and long. And then Wednesday has been for that for me. So this week will be a lot of Walking Dead and finishing off the Wishmaster franchise.
Okay. Yeah, that's something that shouldn't make you think too hard.
Three, and next up will be Hatchet.
Okay.
And then Ghoulies.
Nice.
So I do, people, they'll tell you how many movies I watch. I don't lie to you guys. I literally watch 300 to 400 movies a year.
And that is insane.
You back me up on that every time you talk to me. I'm like, what do you want? How many do you get? So, yeah. So The Boys, I've watched 45 minutes of episode one and have not got back for a month.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Not because I didn't like it, just because I keep forgetting to go back and watch the end of the episode. I think once I get into it, if I get to episode two and three, I'll probably plow through it in a way.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the way I work. I just try to work on one season of a show, and then I work on it, then I'm done. Mm-hmm. Like Lock and Key, when that came back, I plowed through that in the weekend.
I still haven't watched that. I wanted to read the comics first.
I love the comics.
Okay.
Two different things. The show is Lock and Key light.
Okay.
The comics are brutally violent.
Okay, so I'll definitely read the comics first.
The show is not like that.
Okay.
It's more of a PG-13 show. The comics are like a hard R.
Okay.
So I was expecting the book when I first went into it, and I kind of like, okay, I know where they're going. They want teens to watch this. They don't want me to watch Chainsaw showing up and people's heads going off into barricades, which... thing. I find Dash is vicious in the comics. She's vicious in the show, but not to what she is in the comics.
Okay.
So I don't think I've ruined anything for anybody. I think I've kind of left it very general. Thought to ruin
yes.
it for you. So let's go.
All right.
She tends to leave Bones and all, Dash.
Oh, really? Bones directed by Luca Guadagnino?
By the way, just so everybody knows.
Okay. Starring Timothy Chalamet, Taylor Russell, Mark Rylance, Chloe Sevigny, Michael Stuhlbarg, Andre Holland, and director David Gordon Green is actually in this movie for a scene as well.
Okay, I got something funny to tell you. I never heard of this movie. No idea. So I listened to another podcast, and they have this interview with this director on. And he's yipping away about his film. Like, I'm never going to watch this crap. I'm no do it. And Timothy Chalamet. What movie was you talking about? Bones and All Guys to watch that. Never heard of this. Knew nothing about it. As soon as the director of the interview mentioned Timothy Chalamet, I watched it the next day. I thought you would find that funny. I'm talking no interest at all. Not even listening to him going on about the dance of the fun. I'm just like, I don't care. Oh, Timothy Chalamet. And so I did watch this. I thought it was a different premise. I think it had a lot going for it. I like the directing. Reminds me a lot of Ben's She's a Ventura level of directing. Very good directing. I thought it was excellent.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was well acted. The woman that plays the woman in the movie, I loved.
The Taylor Russell.
Taylor Russell was fantastic.
She was a find. I had never seen her before, and she was.
Selma was great. Mark Rylance was amazing in this film. I quite liked his character. My problem for me, there were too many scenes of them driving somewhere. I don't care. I got it. They travel a lot. They have to move. I got that. I understand that. I just couldn't bond with this. I tried hard. I really wanted to love this film. I liked it. I didn't love it. That's what was bugging me. I just never felt warmth from these people. I never really wanted to spend a lot of time with them. I wanted to spend more time with Mark Rylance. Or her mom. Like, those people enjoyed me. Or her old life when she bit the finger off and took off. And that's right at the beginning of the film. So, you know what I mean? Like, I found it was her trying to escape everything. It was more of an escapism film. And I wanted to explore more why she was like that. But in this world, you are, I guess, is what I'm supposed to understand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're just, I guess there are just eaters out there. And surprisingly, there's a lot more of them than you'd think. They find them everywhere they go.
Yes.
But, I think I'm kind of in the same boat as you. I thought the movie was slow.
Yes.
And I wanted to really like it, but I ended up just liking it, not loving it.
Yes.
Full of good performances, though. I mean, like I said, Taylor Russell, she was incredible. She was a find. I had never seen her before, and she really held the movie on her shoulders until Timothy Chalamet came along. But for me, the MVP was Mark Rylance. He was so goddamn creepy in this movie. I'm used to seeing him play like a benevolent character or a good guy. He was just so creepy in this that I can't look at Mark Rylance the same way again.
No, how can you? You know, like Mark Rylance should be getting a Best Supporting nomination for this for sure. There's no doubt in my mind that he deserves it. And as an actor, somebody, was he big before Bridge of Spies? Maybe he was, but I really started to know who he was after Bridge of Spies.
He was big on Broadway. He did a lot of stage work.
Bridge of Spies kind of brought him to my attention, but I think he's just wonderful in everything he does. Mm-hmm. I think this world is, we like it so much because it feels like it exists. Like, it doesn't feel like a fantasy land. And it's very viral at times, especially when they meet the mom. And the mom goes, well, I'm like, what the hell was that? That was a little crazy.
Yeah, I like the scene with Michael Stuhlbarg and David Gordon Green. Michael Stuhlbarg was the
Arnie?
They meet him, and he was the guy in Suspenders.
Oh, yeah.
David Gordon Green was the cop who isn't a real eater, but is trying to get in with them.
Yeah,
I thought that scene was both creepy and also, they were very inviting and welcoming to Timothy Chalamet and Taylor Russell. So it was everything. It was both creepy and homey feeling. I really liked that scene.
I'm surprised KFC hasn't adopted this as Bones and All for their next big meal. I think it's a perfect title. I think this, I hate to say this, I don't see a nomination coming for this film. Maybe for the lead actor. That woman, Taylor, whatever her name is.
Taylor Russell, maybe?
I think maybe an outside shot, maybe a fifth. Not going to win, but should be on the ballot. So, I guess we got to continue on to another remake of a Christmas.
It's pretty spirited. Directed by Sean Anders, starring Will Ferrell, Ryan Reynolds, Octavia Spencer, Sunita Mani, Patrick Page, and the voice of Tracy Morgan.
No, didn't Tracy Morgan show up at the end?
Did he? I thought he was just the voice.
The very last scene.
Oh, really?
When they do the dance number at the end, I think he's in it.
Okay, I might have missed it. I will be honest.
I'll start. I probably love this film. Okay. I absolutely enjoyed myself immensely. Have a good day. So made me laugh so hard. I'm not a big Will Ferrell fan. He's annoyed me, but I think this project works perfectly for me. I had fun during it. Absolutely enjoyed the song, the dances, the storyline. I had a good time. I gotta say, I was shocked how much I liked this film. And I thought the dance numbers, I mean, not saying the singing was very strong, but I didn't care. I was having a good time. And I was, I liked the premise. I loved the end of this film. I thought it was great. I thought everything worked on every level for me in this film.
Okay.
I don't know why. I mean, I'm not the Christmas guy. We know that. I'm not all happy. But this one, I had fun during. It was quite a surprise the day I watched it. Maybe I was in a good mood, but absolutely, my toe was tapping by the end. I wanted to rewatch it. Because I had so much fun, and I hate rewatching things. So I'm giving this a full Christmas spirit thumbs up. I don't care what you have to say. You're wrong if you didn't like it.
Yeah, I'll be the Grinch. I'll tell you, I'm the exact opposite. This movie was not for me. I did not care for it. I'm not a Will Ferrell fan. This was just another example of Ryan Reynolds playing Ryan Reynolds. I do get why it's a big crowd pleaser, why people will like it. I'm just not one of those people. I will be completely honest. My mind started going to places that I don't think the movie wanted it to. When Will Ferrell's Ghost of Christmas Present becomes a human again, I think you're supposed to think, oh, wow, it's magical, it's wonderful. I just got thinking, where does he find a place to live? How does he get a job? Where does he get his clothes? How does he reestablish a life coming back as a middle-aged man? He has no kind of documentation. That's not what the movie wanted me to think, but that is what I thought. I don't know. I just didn't care for this movie at all.
Hold on. Now we're getting... So you watch so many movies like I do. We just talked about Bones and all. And you can't figure out Spirited the Man gets the ID. Of course they can figure it. They're Christmas parents. They'll figure it out a way. They have a full human resource department dealing with this crap.
Yeah, but there wasn't even a line in the dialogue to say that. All you needed was a line saying, oh, yeah, and you'll get your whatever package. You'll get your leaving package, and
well,
that'll
you,
have
you,
your...
Do you feel he was the first person ever to do this?
I don't think so, because they said they had other ghosts before, I'm pretty sure.
Well, he's been there for a long time, though.
Well, he has, yes, but I think they've mentioned that other ghosts have come and gone.
Okay.
Maybe I'm wrong.
You're holding up this movie on paperwork?
Maybe. I didn't really care for the songs or anything like that.
I have to find a bunch of disagree with you, which is amazing, because I always like this is a great film. You're wrong. It's fun. Great.
Well, like I said, it's Ryan Reynolds playing Ryan Reynolds number 9 in the past 10 years.
There's nobody else. He's always going to play smarmy Ryan Reynolds, and he played a smarmy character.
Yes.
And it was fun. You have no spirit, you Scrooge.
Apparently not, yes.
You know, well, I'm sure. Oh, now, I forgot to ask you last episode about a question you were asked 3 episodes ago.
Yes.
I invited Thanksgiving, and you were supposed to ask Owen, and I forgot to ask you, did you ask Owen?
I did ask Owen, and Owen was very diplomatic about it. He said, since we have Thanksgiving at my brother's place, it's not his place to invite somebody to come down. So
we need to ask your brother now.
Yes. Yes.
Well, how often do you speak to your brother?
Every couple months or so.
Perfect. So 2 months, we're going to ask you the same question.
Okay.
Now, I have a question then. If it was at your humble abode.
Okay, yes.
Mm-hmm. For some reason it wasn't at your brother's. Maybe they were that family trip to Hawaii or Australia they've always been to do happened over Thanksgiving because it worked out. Would I be invited?
I will be honest, the answer would be no, but that's only because our house is so small we don't have room for guests.
Let me repeat. I'm just coming for dinner. I'm not going to stay there. I promise to get my own hotel.
Okay, I would feed you then. I would feed
I'm allowed to come Thanksgiving if I have my own hotel.
Yes, yes.
You're on. I'm going to hold you to that. One day I'm going to show up.
All right.
I'd rather go to that sandwich place, though, than going to dinner.
Okay. There are lots of good sandwich places.
I'm sure. I'm just laughing. Because, you know, while we're there, maybe we could go to a night at the museum.
Okay. Night at the museum. The Kumanra Rises Again. Directed by Matt Danner, starring Joshua Bassett, Zachary Levi, Steve Zahn, Gillian Jacobs, Jack Whitehall, and Thomas Lennon.
I know you didn't see this.
Yes, I will be on your own for this one.
I'm on my own. Well, this is one of those movies on Disney Plus that people put on the list, meaning Kevin, who decided not to show up this week because he's too busy. So, in New Orleans. So, that's fine. I don't know why this movie was made. Really terrible looking film. Looked like Saturday morning animation.
Okay.
And I think Owen Wilson did come back, a good Owen Wilson impersonator. Ben Stiller could have came back too, who knows. I didn't care. It must take me 4 days to get through this.
Wow.
I was like, this is terrible. I hate the animation. I hate the voice acting. And the premise of this film is just the second movie done over again. There's a little twist. I honestly didn't care for any of it. I didn't like the big twist is Ben Stiller got a new job in Tokyo, so his son has to take over.
Oh, okay.
That's the big twist. And then his son has to hang out, gets to meet everybody. And then they have a problem because the big mummy guy from the last movie steals the tablet and runs away to another museum. So he can get, then he hangs out with some genie or Janet blows up. It's so dumb.
I'm glad I missed it.
Cutting back to characters. So they think they're in Toy Story now. So let's go to Owen Wilson and whoever he was hanging out. I think he hangs out with
Steve Coogan.
And they're not that. And it just doesn't work. And the Robin Williams character is not Robin Williams, but they make him sound like Robin Williams. I'm like, guys, I'm done. Just make a television episode of these. Make it for kids. Like, that's what you're going for. I think that's what it's saying. Make some toys. Just go with it. And if they make a four of this and somebody makes me watch it, I might lose it.
Fair.
I was not enjoying this at all. Totally terrible film. If it came out in the theater, it would be on my top 10 worst list.
Okay.
Because it didn't come out in the theater, I don't count it. I don't count streaming movies except for one this year. It's going to be my top 10 list because I told you guys it would be. As soon as I saw it, I hated it so much. So you never know. I might change my mind and put this on my top 10 worst list because this movie stunk. Complete kitty litter.
All right.
Maybe if you're six, it's good. I don't know. It wasn't meant for me who've seen the Night Museum movies. Not a big fan of them, but they made a third. I think this comes down to just Disney needing content for streaming.
And they probably needed to keep the trademark on the Night at the Museum.
Well, Mickey Mouse is that whatever. This is his last year of them owning Mickey Mouse.
Mm-hmm.
Can't wait to get my Mickey Mouse shot glasses. I don't think Disney. Yeah, because they lost Pooh already, I think. Peter Pan's out. Peter Pan's out. Pooh's out. So all these old Disney classics, I can run around and get my adult costumes on. You know, you're going to see some Disney porn, I think, coming up. Maybe some Mickey Mouse.
I'm sure you'll see that anyway.
Oh, I don't know. I'm not really looking for it. It doesn't matter. Maybe my nose will get long in one of my costumes.
Maybe. So do you want to talk about an actual good animated project?
I guess so.
Well, then let's talk Pinocchio, directed by Guillermo del Toro and Mark Gustafson, starring Gregory Mann, Ewan McGregor, Finn Wolfhard, Ron Perlman, David Bradley, Tilda Swinton, Christoph Waltz, and Cate Blanchett as a monkey.
Cate Blanchett's the monkey. Yes.
All right. I'll go first since I didn't watch the last movie. I thought this movie was really wonderful. I thought the animation was so seamless. It didn't even feel like stop motion to me. Kind of like... Yeah. Wendell and Wild also came out earlier this year on Netflix. That felt like stop motion.
Yes.
This one felt like it was all computer animated. It was so seamless and smooth. I really love the dark take of bringing in fascism to the story. It was a really dark thing, but it actually led to a good discussion between myself and my son Dylan. He asked, why did Guillermo del Toro bring in fascism? And I said, I kind of think it helped to illustrate the point of the film. Just because something is legal doesn't necessarily mean that it is right. And that was a question that Pinocchio or Geppetto's son asked at the beginning of the movie when they were fixing the statue in the church. And yeah, I think I just loved it. It was dark. It was beautiful. The animation was amazing. And I just loved that Cate Blanchett just voiced, quote unquote, a monkey that doesn't talk in this movie.
No.
I think it was great.
So let's back this up. This thing is beautiful. Absolutely the best rendition of Pinocchio I've ever seen in my life. Breathtaking from beginning, middle, and end. The things they do with Pinocchio and the stop animation and the killing of his son blew me away. Absolutely lovely. My favorite scene, which you didn't address, is when Tom Kenny's the seaboard captain, SpongeBob SquarePants, and they see the big gigantic fish coming, and he just jumps out of the boat. I was dying. That was so funny. And then the priest is a bit of a dick in this film.
Yeah.
Like, what a dick. Like, he gets mad at Geppetto's grieving for his son, going, oh, you're tied to make a puppet? He didn't get to finish Jesus? Really, buddy? Really?
Well, that's also the whole part of the rise of fascism. Just, you know, people get a little bit of power and it goes to their head.
And what was up with Jiminy Cricket getting cut down from a tree and writing his memoirs every night?
Yeah, I just thought that was – I thought Ewan McGregor did a really good job as Jiminy Cricket.
I'm just going to sit here and write my memoirs. You're just like, what? I thought Geppetto was great. I thought they gave Geppetto a purpose, finally.
And I love that the blue fairy looked like a Guillermo del Toro monster. It came out of Guillermo's head. I love that.
Well, Tilda does a good job playing both fairies.
Yes, yes.
I just think this film is just stunning. I don't think it's for kids, though. I think it scared the crap out of them.
Yeah,
when I watched it on Netflix, it was number 3 kids movie.
Okay, I mean, I watched it with my 14-year-old. Dylan's 14. He watched it with me. And like I said, I thought it led to a great discussion afterwards.
Right, but how would it be with a 6-year-old?
A 6-year-old, you might have to ignore that stuff. You might have to ignore the whole...
I don't think they would understand the fascism. I think they would just
no.
be a bad guy.
They wouldn't understand the fascism. They wouldn't really understand the deaths, I think, that Pinocchio has to die to come back to life. I don't think it is for little kids, but I think teenagers, I think, it's an excellent movie to watch with a teenager.
I also like when he goes to visit the death spirit. She goes, don't worry, I'll see you again.
And the whole thing with the bunny rabbits playing cards.
That was hysterical.
It's amazing.
So what's death like? I don't know, a bunch of bunny rabbits. Right. I think this film is just incredible. Guillermo just... I feel bad for the man because he started so late making films. You know, like, I wish we had Guillermo at 20. Like, he's got to be my age or older than me now.
Yeah, I think he's probably in his 50s or something, but...
I wish we had Guillermo starting at 20. Making, like, the stuff it's prolific, the stuff he puts out. It's always something different, something new, something original. And I feel that we don't... I mean, I think now, lately, he's getting celebrated. But I think earlier on with Devil's Backbone and stuff, he wasn't. I mean, a lot of people didn't go see Nightmare Alley. And I'm like, guys, you are missing.
Somebody Nightmare Alley was...
see again.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just the stuff this man producing and the rate he's producing. I still have to watch the Curios Cabinet. I still have to watch.
That it's the same as any other anthology, some episodes are better than others, but...
But his hand has touched it, so I'm in. Like, that just tells me that we're going to be watching that for sure. Okay. I guess I've been emancipated from Pinocchio.
I guess so. Emancipation, directed by Anton Fuqua, starring Will Smith, Ben Foster, Mustafa Shakir, Stephen Ogg, Imani Pullman, and Charmaine Bingwa. I will be honest. This movie was a miss for me from frame one. This movie looked to me like it was made specifically to win Oscars. It didn't bring anything new to the table. It didn't hit for me in the way that I think it's supposed to. It didn't make slavery look any worse than 12 Years a Slave did. And I think 12 Years a Slave actually made slavery is a horrible thing, but it made slavery look worse in 12 Years a Slave. There was something so visceral about seeing him hanging from the rope, barely being able to touch his toes to the ground so he doesn't completely hang. That scene from 12 Years a Slave has stuck with me ever since I saw that movie in the theater. It was just harrowing and brutal. This one just felt like an action movie. It had an action movie veneer to me. It wasn't exactly black and white, and it wasn't color. It was mostly black and white, but then there were greens, and then there were reds, and I'm not really sure I understood what the intention was behind that. I thought the CGI was atrocious in this, but I guess if you're not Marvel and if you're not James Cameron, you don't get the good CGI at the moment. The alligator attack scene looked like something out of a TV show from the 50s. It looked so bad. When he flicks the snake out of the canoe, that snake could not look more CGI to me. Antoine Fuqua, he's a real hit or miss director for me, and this was absolutely a miss. I did not care for this movie at all.
Okay, let's pick up some more points. I thought this was a run, Forrest Run movie. I felt Will Smith was playing Forrest and just running. I'm like, oh, he runs to the swamp. Something happens. Oh, he's running through another swamp? Oh, he finds somebody this time. That guy's dead. Nope, he died. Oh, he does something else. Yeah, that's not good. I was like, what's the point of this? Beautiful to look at. I got to say it was well shot. Mm-hmm. But I felt it was just a lot of run through a swamp, something happens. Run through a swamp, something happens. I really think nothing really happens till they finally catch up to him.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of thinking, going, how do they catch up to him? He seemed to do everything right to me to escape. Like, they caught up to him on the canoe. They caught up to him in this. I'm like, this is getting a little ridiculous that they can catch him. I really did not see him do anything wrong. He seemed to be outsmarting them. And every turn, I'm kind of like, I thought this was like The Fugitive.
And then when he's
in the last half an hour.
Yeah, I was going to say, and then he's caught by Ben Foster at the end. But it's not the end. Once Ben Foster is taken care of, there's still another half hour left after that.
I'm like, what? Where are you going with this? I thought this movie should have ended there. No, we gotta go find his family. And I'm kind of like, why? Why do we care? Like, why did the woman? And the thing that bugged me was she put her hand in the machine to keep them together. I'm like, this is pointless.
Yeah, I didn't understand that, and it wasn't really followed up on.
That was my issue. It wasn't followed up on. But I got to say, I learned a lot in the last half an hour. When they say the slaves were free, they weren't really free yet.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought they were, and I guess we were led to believe from the history books, they still had work to do. They had to help the general. He could have been a cook, could be a gardener. I'm like, I don't know why you need a gardener in the Civil War, but that's what he said. And, you know, he becomes a fighter. I'm like, okay, that gets us to the end. I'm like, why are we doing this? Like, shouldn't it have been over? But I guess maybe he's trying to show us that there was more to being free than that. But I'm kind of like, the Southern Slave War, I want to know if this was really happening. I mean, obviously they know the North is coming.
Mm-hmm.
Do they still keep doing all this stuff in the plantation? I don't know that.
Yeah.
I'm just asking a basic question.
Yeah, I do think that is the case, yes.
They just continue with life as normal.
Yes.
even though they were coming for him, they knew it.
Mm-hmm. They knew their time. Well, I guess they hoped that the South would win, but in any case, they wanted to keep going with what they were doing.
Well, you can help me here. I don't read American textbooks. I read Canadian textbooks where they tell you we won the War of 1812. You guys don't even discuss the War of 1812 because you lost. So what do the history books say to you guys about slavery? All they tell us that the war, they go through maybe a page on Civil War, and according, I don't think my daughter even reads that stuff anymore in the new textbooks. They don't even touch American politics too much.
Well, they basically it's talked about, you know, how it was a war to end slavery. It was a war, and then mostly it talked about the after effects, what happens after the reunification, and basically that even though slaves were freed, they still had a horrible time most of the time. And yeah, it's a balancing act. They don't want to make students depressed, but they also have to, you know, teach what happened.
Well, they spent a lot of time in World War II, I would say. We did, at least.
Mm-hmm.
World War I is kind of like 5 pages. World War II is like 100.
Mostly it's more about from what I remember of history, it's more like pre-Civil War. There's a lot of George Washington and the Revolutionary War, stuff like that.
Nope, nothing. Not here. We just know George Washington cut down a tree, maybe, and his wife fell on the flag. That's what I can tell you. Doug, I was watching my postal route, and I asked the guy, why are you tarring your driveway? He said, because it had cracks. It's the best segue I could think of.
Okay. Or you could say we're going from one sticky situation to another with tar. Directed by Todd Field, starring Kate Blanchett, Noemi Merant, Nina Hoss, and Sophie Causer. So I just watched this movie yesterday.
Go ahead then. I watched it 2 weeks ago.
I have to say this movie was stunning. I thought it was brilliantly filmed, and Kate Blanchett gave one hell of a performance in this film. I love how subtle the movie was. Kate Blanchett is obviously haunted by something in her past. We're not sure until the end of the film what that is. But you could see hints of the haunt, like a real haunting. I noticed ghosts, I guess would be the word for it, in two scenes I saw, and I had to look up if there was more. The answer is no. As far as I could see, there was only a ghost in two scenes. But also when she's running through the park, the screams you hear are actually the screams of Heather Donahue from the Blair Witch Project. They just used audio from that. And I will say, on top of all the haunting and beautiful but creepy imagery, there's also a really dry sense of humor in this movie. Where Lydia Tarr ends up at the end, I couldn't help but laugh at what she was doing in that final scene of hers. This movie was kind of amazing, and yeah, I could see why it gets all the praise that it does.
Oh my God, you're missing so much good stuff.
Oh, I'm sure. It's a long movie. It is a long movie.
Blew me away how much I enjoyed. I got to say, how much I learned about composing and enjoying learning things about composing I didn't know. I didn't know how they picked their people behind curtains. That was interesting. It's shocking how much I find Lydia Tarr a predator by the end of this film. A complete predator to something I'd never seen before in a film. Like, I've seen lots of male antagonists be predators, but never a female predator like this. Oh my God, vicious. Just knows what she wants and goes after it with no holds bar.
But no, and that's even hinted at the beginning with the drugs and her wife. When she has the prescription and she's taking the drugs, but then when she first sees her wife, she's having a heart episode or whatever, and she's like, oh, fuck. And she, oh, I found this loose pill in the drawer. Is that what you need? She doesn't care about anybody else.
Ambitious. And the way she took down that guy in the German guy that was running everything, she goes, I think it's time for you to go.
Yes.
I'm just like, what the hell? And then she's praying on that Russian cellist, maybe? I think she's Russian.
Yes, I think so.
Mm-hmm. I'd almost say grooming. You know, I really thought she was trying to groom her. I'm like, the end of this film is phenomenal. I want the Queen song. Can't stop me now. I'm having a good time. I was just, that went through my head at the end of that scene. And she didn't seem to care. You know, like, she just, whatever she did, it was thing. And I love how her real name's not Linda, it's Lydia. And her brother humbles her, goes, oh, should I call you Lydia now? I'm like, wow. Took her down a full peg, and she was pissed. But I think that makes her real right there. That really helps me understand she is a monster. But her brother just chopped right there. Mm-hmm. And even when she gets busted, she's already coming back. She doesn't care.
Yeah, I think what ultimately cemented her downfall, and this was another scene, I was not expecting it, but when it happened, I couldn't help but I just burst out laughing, was when she charges onto the stage and tackles Mark Strong. Yeah. Like, I was not expecting that to happen, and when it did, it was just so much of an, oh my God, what the hell did I just see? I started laughing when that happened.
Which you should. I have no problems with that. You know, I just think this film goes in directions you can't see or know. And I didn't feel it was too long. I really felt I needed all these scenes to help me understand this character. And I wanted to understand this monster. And my feelings for the monster got better. I had deep sympathy for it at times. I understood her motivations.
Mm-hmm.
Agreeing with them, no. But understanding them, yes.
And when you saw the newspaper articles or magazine articles that had pictures of the Krista character, who you never see, but until that end montage with the articles, and you see a picture of her, and she's young, and she's a redhead, just like the new cellist that she's grooming there. I was like, oh my God, she has a type.
Yeah, I think Todd Fields does a great job of putting this film together.
Yes.
The acting is just wonderful. I mean, let's be honest, Kate Blanchett's getting a nomination, Todd Fields getting a nomination, and this film is going out for Best Picture. There's no doubt in my mind.
Yeah, I would agree on all that.
Even Nina Hoss makes a comment about her choices.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And she doesn't believe her too after a while. She's like, no, something's not right here. She's starting to smell something. And I think Nina Hoss at one point was the star or whatever. I can't remember what she plays.
She was the violin, right?
Okay. I think, but I mean,
yeah.
You could see a pattern. Even you're saying you see a pattern.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't think she can be a sympathetic character. I think the film starts off, you think she might be, and she's being maliciously maligned, and then you realize, no, she's not. She is that monster. But you don't know that till the end.
Yeah. Yeah, this was definitely a late edition movie that I saw that is definitely getting in my top 10 list somewhere.
Oh, absolutely. No doubt about it. If you've seen this film, it should be in your top 10 list.
Yeah, I think this movie was just stunning to me. I mean, like you said, I never really had any interest in conducting or classical music or anything like that, but the way this film is put together, like the beginning, it's almost like a masterclass where she's getting interviewed by the New Yorker magazine, and you're slowly getting sucked into her her charisma and charm, and I guess that's also how she uses it to get her victims.
Exactly.
And it was amazing. It was so well made, this movie.
Well, what it shows me how good an actor Kate Blanchett is. Like, I'm thinking, this always makes me laugh. Oh, there's something I did want to bring up, but I'll bring it up at the end for you. That I could see other actors trying to get this part, because it is an excellent part, but I'm thinking in my head, who could have done a better job? Kate Blanchett just proves to me why she's amazing.
Right. Yes.
And she keeps doing that in everything I see her in. Even in Carol, I loved with Todd Fields.
Maybe Kate Winslet could have done this. But, yeah, Kate Blanchett was just other level in this.
Oh, I totally agree with you. So, my question is, since we're done Tar, unless you have something else to say about it.
No.
I read Jennifer Lawrence came out and said her character of The Hunger Games was the first female superhero. Or something along those lines. I should have
said. I think action lead. I think she said something about action lead.
I'm thinking going, did you not see Aliens? Or Terminator?
Yeah.
I'm like, Jennifer Lawrence, like, shut up. Like, what are you talking about? What did you feel about that statement?
I kind of felt that it was probably just an actor, just they got a question and was just answering it off the top of their head.
I have to disagree with you. I find Jennifer Lawrence's ego is getting a little too big for her own brain.
I don't see that.
I do. I've watched her in interviews and I'm just like, no.
Yeah, but I feel like she's gone away for a few years and I don't see ego in what she does.
I don't know. Just a dumb statement. Absolutely dumb. I just, narrow-minded millennials is what comes to my mind. I know you exist as an actor, but you really should know what came before you.
That's fair.
You know, or talk about what you know. And obviously film is not it. And she also started her own production company. I'm like, I don't care. Who doesn't have a production company now? It's like actors' production companies are like actors doing podcasts. I'm like, they all have one. We got it. We know.
That is true. But, you know, I still have to see Causeway. I hear it's very good.
Oh, I can't wait for you to see Causeway because I have seen Causeway.
Okay.
Which you probably do. I already have since I haven't watched ATV at all. So, we know you haven't bought anything, but we did not talk about the last episode, what you got for Christmas. Movies, if anything.
My big thing was I am a big Talking Heads fan, and my family got me a signed Remain in Light record signed by David Byrne. So that was my big Christmas present. So that was awesome.
I'm kind of the hardest person to buy for. I think I'm finally hitting old man age because I got the socks. Happy about that. I got a belt. Happy about that. And I got underwear. No complaints.
Right.
I'm not even upset. I'm like, that covers everything I need to buy this year. But I did get one cool gift. My family knows me fairly well. They bought me a Pokemon catcher. So that means
I'll
turn on my phone, and if I have enough, it just catches them for me. So I don't have to do it.
Oh, nice.
It is absolutely, I have to tell you, I use it every day. I'm not upset if I forget it at home. So my family did well. Movie-related stuff, nothing. I didn't ask for anything because my family wouldn't normally, unless I get a shirt or something, like a Batman T-shirt or something along that lines, they might buy me, but usually no. But, I mean, I wasn't really looking for anything, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
So, I mean, do you have to drop hints to your family what you're looking for?
No, I generally just have an Amazon wish list that if they need to buy me a present, they just look on.
I couldn't do that for me because it doesn't exist. It's in my head.
Okay.
And I do have one thing I'm going to buy from Amazon eventually. It's just a book. I'm going to
pick
it up. We'll discuss it when I pick it up. Just because it sounded interesting to me. So, and that's about it. And I think we're done. And
all right.
There's only one thing left to say. If they make it,
at least you and I will watch it.
True. Goodbye.